All right, let's go. We are here in the Hakdama of the Sefer Achinuch. So he's talking about over here that even though we don't understand what Hashem did, we have to realize that Hashem, who's the Av of Chachmas, the Adon of Kol, did everything that was supposed to be. Now, why is he calling Hashem the father of Chachmas over here? It's a very nice term. It's actually something I've not unusual term for Hashem, that he's the, since he's the father of Chachmas, so therefore, we know that he, that when he created the world and he wanted Klal Yisrael to be his people and he wanted us to have the mitzvahs, he knew what he was doing. The answer is obvious, right? What's the answer? The answer is that what's the struggle that we have sometimes that we don't understand? We don't understand things. So how do we not understand things? Because of chachma, because of wisdom, we feel like we don't understand Hashem. Now, who's the father of wisdom? The father of wisdom, not the smartest. Shlomo Melech was the smartest man. Who's the father of wisdom? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what he's teaching us is that it's ridiculous for a person to feel lacking when they can't understand something in Chachma. Hashem's the one who created Chachma. He was the one who created Chachma. So obviously, if he decides that he should have Yidden and he should have a way of them being mechabedim and doing this mitzvahs, Hashem knows exactly what he's doing. This is an important approach for the Bali Musar. In general, you have to know how to speak to your Yetzahara. I mean, you could just say Hashem is everything and not ask any questions, but we are human beings. We ask questions. We have to think for a second. Wait a second. What's bothering me right now? I have a question in how Hashem is running the world. Where's my question coming from? It's coming from the fact that I don't understand it in wisdom, in my own wisdom. Okay, first of all, I'm not the smartest of people. Okay, but let's say I was. Maybe I still would have this question. Okay, but Hashem is the father of all chachmas, and he is the one who set up this situation. And he knows exactly how everything should be. So now he's saying that it's true, we can't really understand Hashem, but we can try to give a tam of why he created the world. And this is again the chinuch l'shitaso, like we explained last week. The word tam does not just mean reason, it means a flavor or a possible understanding l'fi ar madrega. That in general explains what we're doing in life. We're not trying to get the answer of all answers. We're trying to get to Hashem in the way that we can relate. So he's giving a reason for this relationship of us and Hashem in something we can understand. Actually, the idea of having human beings who can understand Hashem is something that makes sense. Lefi the mile of Hashem. Why? Now that Hashem has decided to create a world, Roy Leos Bitachlis Hashlemus, that world should be complete. Ki Hashalim Komais Hashlemus. When someone is Shalim, all of their actions are Shalim. Right? Hashem's actions have to be Shalim. They have to be complete. This is why the Rambam has an interesting machlokas with other Shitas about whether or not Hashem changes Teva, or whether Hashem actually built into the system that the entire natural order should change at, let's say, at Kriyas Yamsuf. It was built into this system that there should be a change in the system and the water should split and all these things. why did the Rambam do that? He was explaining a medrash, but why was he so worried about the natural order changing? So it's interesting. I heard from my Rebbe, Razul Schwarzman, that the pshat is the Rambam was bothered that everything that Hashem does is perfect. So even the concept of a nes, that a system will need to be changed by Hashem, the Rambam held was problematic because everything Hashem does is perfect. So it must even be built into the system that the system will change when Hashem needs it to. Fascinating idea. The Mekubalim don't learn this way, but the Rambam Shita is a very strong Shita that anything that Hashem does can't be deficient at any point. So therefore, what Hashem did was Hashem set up into the Bria that at such and such time, this is what's going to happen, and this is what's going to happen, and if they're going to be Nisim, that they will be part of the system. So when Hashem created a world, Hashem creates a system of Shleimus. The world is not lacking a single thing. You know, sometimes you could bring groceries home. You could say, and your kids could say, hey, why didn't you bring this? Why didn't you bring that? Right? Or the like. But no one ever went into planet Earth and said, hey, where's this? That this world is missing a certain thing. There are things that are going wrong in the world. That's only because of pollution and abuse of the world. The world itself. I heard, I don't know if it's a true statistic, that with all the problems that are going on with all the global warming and all these things, and that they, in theory, if the world would take a rest for just maybe even 50 years, I think that was the statistic I heard, that the world could even just fix itself. That's how incredible Hashem's world is. That if man, Elohim baras Adam Yasher, Hashem created man straight, Behem bikshu chishbonos rabim, and man complicated the world, right? With all the things that we've done, we've made the world lacking certain natural resources, but that's only from abuse. The world, if you think about it, it's incredible that there's still so many natural resources for the world, and we're not planning on running out, which is incredible based on the enormous, since the Industrial Revolution, we've been using so much stuff and garbage non-stop in a way that the world is perfect. The world always has fresh air. The world always has enough food, enough water. And like, based is how the biggest commodity. Who knows what the most important, the largest commodity on planet Earth, the Chovas HaLevavos says, the largest commodity. What's the largest commodity on planet Earth, according to the Chovas HaLevavos? Someone want to take a guess? Air, right? That's what you said, Akiva, that's what he said?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, you were supposed to fall into my trap, but Akiva is a wise man. He falls into the trap. Air, air is the most essential, it's a gas, but air is the most essential thing for human survival, and it's the most available commodity on planet Earth, which it sounds so basic and sounds so obvious, but if you think about it, it's mind-boggling. The most essential thing for survival is the very thing that is the most available. What's the second most necessary available commodity?
Food.
Akiva, you're on a roll. You want to try for the second one?
Food.
Who's that? What was that?
Eli Hoshander. I said
food. Who said that? You're on the ball, but that's number three. Number two is water.
Maybe water? Yeah, water.
Exactly. Who said that?
Akiva.
Akiva, you're on a roll. Okay, water, right? And that's incredible. I think the reason why I'm just pointing this out, and the Chovas HaLevavos does, we don't take a step back. I mean, if you look at the world only scientific, first of all, it's backwards thinking. The cells mutated, I don't know, until finally they could survive with the survival of air, which is the greatest commodity. That's like, you know, and if I stand upside down and pick my nose and eat ice cream, I don't know what. And that's not the way to think. The way the world works is that Hashem provided, sorry for saying pick my nose, that was not a nice thing, but I was making fun of something. Anyway, Hashem provides these commodities because Hashem created a world with chachma, and water is always available. And we don't have wells today. We're not so conscious of wells, which is a shame. Because in the olden days, you really felt like there was a well in your community, you know, deep underwater. Today, we just turn on a faucet and we don't really have that like good feeling. Is there a well in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, there's a pump. All our water we're pumping from the ground.
Good. Okay. So therefore, you're feeling it a little bit, the world. But it used to be wells were, you know, today the problem is we buy everything in stores. We turn on the magic faucet. But it's incredible that we can. I mean, you guys should know better than me. You went so much time without showers. I mean, how could I speak in front of such prushim, such people who were removed from Olam Hazeh for so many weeks? But for most people, you just press that faucet and the water just keeps coming. Even when they tell you it's a drought, never happened to any of us during a drought that all of a sudden they tell you conserve the water, they tell you in school, but at the end of the day, those naughty people were not conserving. The water has yet to run out, which is incredible. And aside from the fact that it's available in oceans and lakes and seas and rivers, then we have the fact that this commodity is constantly regenerating itself in the form of rain, which is incredible. And it's spreading it all around. So not only did Hashem make this commodity available in quantity, but he made a system that it should get spread around to the proper places. This is a year in Eretz Yisrael where we have record rain, and the Kinneret is at an all-time high. And it's built into the system. It's basically free. The beauty of rain is mamash free. Everybody can get water like that. So there's a chachma to the Bria. And the more you study it, the more you'll see that chachma. Ki lo chasur mimenu davar shi adam yachal omra lav lama lo asabo lama kin. Shi vada mimenu yisran chachma ubina. There's nothing in the world that you would have thought of that's not there. Ki hine barabo lama skalim nivdalim ve malachim Hashem created angels. We're not, that's even much higher. V'chein bara skalim beguf kayim ve mashamayim goldzvam, and all the luminaries that function clockwork, literally clockwork. That's where we get the whole concept of a clock, is from the luminaries in the sky, right? Our clocks are based on the way Hashem made the universe, the galaxies, the cosmos. They're functioning clockwork. Pshuto kimashmo, right? The first clocks were sundials. Vehema shamayim kolzvam, uvarav aretz brios gufanios basechov umin adam, and intelligent creatures like man, lahodia kilo nimnum lafanav kol davar, to show that Hashem is capable of everything. Shafal pisha chomer basechov hafakim gemurim, even though physicality and intelligence or spirituality are polar opposites, Erevam Yachad, Hashem was able to mix the two, Begodol Chachmaso, and make a man, right? This is the famous Ramah. The Ramah writes that the words Mafli Lasos and Asher Yatzos, what's the wonder of creation, is the fusion between the Guf and the Neshama. This is a very deep fusion. I actually heard from my Rebbe, Rav Zvulun Schwartzman, something incredible about this fusion. Most people think that, and I thought this for years until he said otherwise, most people think that what's the amazing thing about the Guf and the Neshama fusing together? Anyone want to just take a stab at it, and then I'll tell you what my Rebbe said.
I mean, they're like polar opposites.
Yeah, they have nothing to do with one another, right? And the fact that they can coexist in one person is absolutely amazing. But he said something else, that there's a much deeper point over here. And this is based on the Mekubalim. The pshat is not only are they polar opposites and they live together, Ellie, but in the end, when we're the neshama is a shutuf with the guf, and the guf is actually helping you build your olam haba. So it's not just that they're like two roommates that are getting along. They're actually turning into one being that when we get to olam haba, our guf will be nes'ala and actually be part of the neshama. Now, how that process could happen with these two polar opposites, if I was with them, I would say, you know, be roommates, just, you know, put a red line in the middle of the room where each one shouldn't cross each other's boundaries. But that's not what happens with the guf and the neshama. Not only are they polar opposites, but somehow in the end, there's going to be a gilui that they're one and the same. They're not even polar opposites. They're best friends. And more than best friends, they're one entity. This is something that the Mekubalim say is a gilui that only Hashem could make. And somehow we'll see how the entire physical world is not a stira to Ratzon Hashem, but it's a gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. So that's a wonderment. Therefore, we need, it follows that there should be a being that has intelligence to know his creator. Meaning, part of a bria, of creating a world successfully, is that there should be a yachas, a connection between the bria and the creator. So therefore, in his chachma, he created a being that should have that connection. If Hashem would not have given us the Torah, all of us would just be running around eating Pizza Hut, pepperoni pizza, and making barbecues outside stadiums. Just be like animals. Then the Bria wasn't shalim because it didn't have a godly element where the created beings could have a connection with their creator and relate to their creator. Because essentially, man, animals and man in their bodies are very much the same. Even though they don't look the same, and there'd be a lacking in the Bria if there wasn't a part of the Bria that could have a relationship with Hashem, meaning like a pinnacle of the Bria. Therefore, Torah was the a necessary component in having a Bria that's full. To have a Bria that's full, you don't need scientists, you don't need physicists. I mean, you could have those too, but that's not the most impressive achievement. The most impressive achievement is to create a created being that could recognize and have a relationship with its creator. And the Sefer HaChinuch holds that that's finished product. The Sefer HaChinuch is not explaining why Hashem created the world. That he's not doing. But what he's doing is he's saying, if you create a world and you're the Ava Chachmos, it follows that you should create it to the extent that you have someone in the Bria, something, some pinnacle of that Bria, that's able to identify with and have a relationship and see the greatness of the creator. That is a tremendous achievement in the Chachma. Now, there's some foolish philosophical things. I'm not a philosopher, and you'll excuse me. It would be impressive if someone could create someone like themselves, right? It's like these questions that say, can God create a rock that he can't lift? Can he? The answer is he cannot create a rock that he can't lift. And the reason is because that's not a deficiency. It's a play, it's a trick, that question. The question is a wrong, is on false pretenses. The question is assuming that it's a weakness to not be able to create a rock that you can't lift. That's not a weakness. It's an impossibility because it's a weakness for Hashem to have anything that's more powerful than him. It's actually, that is the weakness. So also over here, if Hashem as a creator, the highest level of creation is to create something finite that can have a relationship with their infinite creator. That ability for a finite being to actually say Shemona Esrei, to actually learn Torah, to actually have that connection with an infinite being is mind-boggling. We don't understand what infinity is. And even infinity, the Vilna Gaon writes in his Perish on Sefer Yetzirah, the definition of mathematical infinity is smaller than the infinity of Hashem. Should I explain that now? Probably not. It's 2 minutes left, and we're not going to tackle a Vilna Gaon on Sefer Yetzirah. But even the concept of infinity, you know what, Ellie? If you remind me next week, I see you're disappointed. Next week, we'll discuss the infinity of mathematics versus the infinity of Hashem Yisbarach. Okay? But to have this, I'm sure we're going to get many more listeners if you post this somewhere, you know, that Rabbi Stark is going to be giving a shiur on making a golem and the infinity of Hashem in the Sefer Yetzirah. If you make a sign, we'll get a lot of interesting guests for next week, but we're not looking for that. So, but anyway, the idea of having a connection with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is infinite, so that is something that is the pinnacle of the Bria, and it's the highest level of Chachma that a creator can have. A creator creating something that can have a cognizance and relationship that's genuine with its creator, where there's a real connection and relationship, that's the pinnacle of the Bria. Everyone should have a beautiful, stunning Shabbos, all the brachas.